The Murthy Law Firm has been clarifying US immigration laws and procedures for foreign nationals since 1994. We are happy to offer this free service. Please listen to copyright information and restrictions at the end of this recording.
Welcome. I am Sheila Murthy, President and CEO of the Murthy Law Firm. I'm honored and delighted to invite all of you and to welcome you to our discussion about strategies for employers when you're onboarding and offboarding your valued employees for the success of your business. Joining me for today's discussion are two of my esteemed colleagues at the Murthy Law Firm. FTJ, Timothy is his official name, but we all know him as TJ and love him as TJ, and Maggie Wagner, both in the non-immigrant department of the Murthy Law Firm, and they deal with issues all the time. So what are we going to discuss today? We will cover key considerations like when to file the petition, the H-1B petition, then pros and cons of premium processing, potential risks by relying on, let's just say, an H-1 receipt, when to start the green card process, how to maximize your H-1B time for your employees. And that way, by understanding all of these processes, hopefully you can succeed, your business can succeed, and you can sleep well at night. So with that, the first question that I'm going to start off addressing and then pass it to TJ and Maggie is the process for hiring a foreign national employee who's currently on H-1B status. What are the timing considerations for employers to, you know, think of for this process, right? So if you're the employer and you're hiring the H-1B employee, you obviously know very well, if you've done this before, that you filed the I-129 petition, and that obviously requires something called the LCA, the labor condition application, which should not be confused with the green card labor certification, with the USCIS. This is filed all with the LCA is filed with the Department of Labor, the I-129 petition with the LCA, certified LCA is filed with the USCIS, where the employer, you as a business or company, is sponsoring your H-1B employees for the particular job, which is a specialty occupation. And obviously the petition needs to include the salary, the job duties, the person's qualifications, all that is briefly on the form, but more detailed in the cover letter. For those of you, how many of you here are familiar with portability provisions? So what's portability? So as you know, portability allows a new H-1B employer to allow the H-1 employee to start working as soon as the H-1 petition is filed with the USCIS. Filed means the USCIS should ideally receive the new H-1B petition, but it has to be both timely filed and non-frivolous, right? So that way, the employer can actually start putting the person on payroll or putting them to work on the contract and start doing the job or what have you. So the whole issue is, what is the timing with respect to the start date for the employment? Generally, the H-1 employee is allowed to start either on the date that the USCIS receives the H-1B petition that is filed or the start date of the petition. So, for example, if you ask for it to start after 3 months, even if it's received this week, obviously you can't start the person and put them on payroll right away. So this is extremely important. Also remember, of course, the I-9 requirements must be met, but that's a different discussion for another day. The problem or the slight risk that exists for you as an employer, and the risk may be greater if then there's a new Trump administration that would start in from January 2020 onwards, is while the employee can start work with the employer based on the receipt notice, if and when the petition, the H-1, let's say, is ultimately denied, then the person, the employee, has to stop work immediately because employment authorization is terminated, right? So if that happens, some people say, well, how about if I do premium processing? Will that help me? Well, I tell people you have to be strategic and smart about this. On one hand, premium processing may give you It's good news that he gives you the answer faster, but if you know it's a really weak case and you're desperate and you need somebody now and you know that the government may take 6 or 8 months to process the case and you can rely on that to put somebody on the payroll while you get other resources or other employees lined up, that might very well be a brilliant strategic move on your part not to waste $2,700 or $2,800 filing a premium only to get a faster denial, right? So be clever, be smart, be strategic, think like a business person, talk to your immigration lawyer, and sometimes people want certainty and guarantee, and then maybe if you don't mind if it's a denial, invest the extra $2,700 or $2,800 for the premium filing. On the other hand, if it's a waste of money and a waste of time, just don't do it. It's a waste. The next question that we often get asked about, and TJ, I'm going to invite you to jump in if you don't mind, is what happens if the employee has recently been laid off from the H-1B employment? What are the timings? What are the grace periods? How can the new employer, the old employer, the employee juggle all of this?
So, yeah, I mean, Sheila, that's a question we get all the time is, you know, I'm looking to hire this H-1B employee, but they've recently been laid off. Is this something we can do because they're not working? And, you know, the first thing to really look at is, are they eligible for a grace period? Back in January 2017, USCIS implemented new regulations that actually permit an individual who has been laid off, you know, laid off from their job or quit their job or something, gave them a 60-day grace period to either, you know, find a new employer, to change to a different status, or to leave the country. So the period is either 60 days or to the end of their I-94 card, whichever is shorter. So it's certainly something that you want to check when you're looking to hire an employee. Are they in their grace period? And also, how much time left do they have in their grace period? Because, you know, if they're 30 days, 40 days into their grace period, you really need to start that H-1B process as soon as absolutely possible, because the LCA is going to take 7 up to 10 days to get certified. So you really want to make sure that you look at that. First thing you do when you're looking to hire an employee in H-1B is, are you working? Because there are plenty of times that you see the employer doesn't know the employee, you know, the potential employee is not working. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh no, this is a rush. We have 9 days to file this H-1B petition, which is not, you know, a lot of time. So certainly check that when you're looking to hire an employee in H-1B status. Sometimes, you know, the employee, you know, has lost their job. And so in order to kind of bridge a gap and give them time to find another job, they file a B-2 application. So USCIS has actually said that this is permissible. It's permissible to file a B-2 while you're in your grace period in order to, you know, look for employment opportunities. Now, this is just a policy that USCIS posted on their website. Coming to the next administration, we don't know if this will still be a thing. So that's certainly something to keep in mind. But in this situation, you can then file an H-1B petition for that employee. And I've talked to a lot of employers who don't understand this. They think, oh no, the employee's in B-2 status, or their B-2, they filed a B-2 and it still is pending. We can't just file an H-1B change of status for them. But in fact, you can. And what USCIS has actually said in this situation, with the, you know, if you're going to hire an employee who's in B-2 or who has that B-2 pending, right? Because B-2s can take 3 to 6 months to get a decision. So instead of waiting for that B-2 to be adjudicated, USCIS essentially said, file the H-1B as a change of status back to H-1B in premium processing, and notify us, hey, this person has their B-2 pending. Here's the receipt notice. Kindly adjudicate them both concurrently. So then USCIS will pull the B-2, usually approve it, and then they'll subsequently approve the H-1B and making it clear that the person is in H-1B status. So it's certainly something to keep in mind when you're looking to hire an employee who's in this situation in their 60-day grace period, or if they filed that B-2.
Thank you so much, TJ, for explaining it. I've often wondered, if both the B2 change of status and the H1B petition have the last same date, would that confuse right. people on which one is the last action rule? Because unless they right. timestamp it and they say, this was done at 3:15 in the afternoon and this was done at 3:30 in the afternoon, how do we know which, you know, it's like the chicken right. or the egg, which comes first?
Right, right. And so this policy, I mean, it doesn't, USCIS doesn't specifically say that, hey, we're going to adjudicate, we're going to, you know, tie in terms of time, we're going to adjudicate the H-1B later. But they make it clear in their policy on their website that you'd be back in H-1B status. I actually had a situation years ago before the 60-day grace period even existed, before this policy existed, where they had two, a petition, H-1B petition, and I think it was like an H-4 application adjudicated on the same day. So we emailed Premium Processing. We emailed Premium Processing, and they said, no, you are in H-1B status. This client is in H-1B status. So then we have, hey, keep this email as proof. But I think now the guidance is pretty clear that they would be in H-1B status, even though the approval date is the same.
Got it. Thank you so much for that clarification. I'm sure it's going to give a lot of peace of mind for a lot of employers and employees that are dealing with this situation and are always nervous because they've heard about the last action rule. Fantastic. So, Maggie, let me invite you to talk a little bit about the timing. You know, how long can the H-1 be valid? What are the extensions, you know, when the 6 years are up? All of those stuff. We have different sections of the AC-21 law that come into play because employers, again, need to start thinking how they're going to juggle all of this, especially if there are major changes expected starting after January 20th of 2025.
Yeah, exactly. So the question is, you know, once the employee has been onboarded, how long can you actually continue to employ that person? And, you know, at the outset, generally speaking, someone in H-1B status can apply for extensions for in 3-year increments per petition. But it comes with a maximum eligibility period of 6 years in H-1B status. But there are exceptions that allow somebody to extend beyond the 6 years allotted in H-1B status if that beneficiary has reached certain milestones in the green card process. And that's what I'm going to talk a little bit about here. And I'll also talk about that is probably the reason why you want to start the green card process for H-1B employees as soon as possible, so that they can continue to extend beyond the 6 years that's allotted in H-1B status. And the first way that you can extend beyond the 6 years allotted in H-1B status is under AC-21-106A. And under this section, you can extend in increments up to 1 year if 365 days or more have passed since either the filing of any application of labor certification, that's the form ETA 750 or 9089, and that's what's required or used by the foreign national employee to obtain an employment-based immigrant petition. So if that's impending for 365 days or more, you can extend in increments up to 1 year. Or if 365 days or more have passed since the filing of the employment-based immigrant petition. So those are employment-based immigrant petitions or I-140s that don't actually require the labor certification. So if it doesn't require the labor certification, you know, the filing of the employment-based petition has been pending for 365 days or more, you can also extend in increments of up to 1 year. Something to keep in mind, though, is that for beneficiaries whose priority dates are current, if more than a year has passed since that priority date has been current and the I-485 has not been filed, that person's not eligible for the extension under AC-21 unless they can establish that the failure to file the I-485 was due to circumstances beyond the foreign national employee's control. So that's something to keep in mind there. And then the second way that you can extend beyond the allotted 6-year period in H-1B is under AC-21-104C. And under this section, you can extend in periods up to 3 years if the foreign national employee is the beneficiary of an approved employment-based immigrant petition. So again, that's the I-140. And they're not able to adjust status because their priority date is not current. So if they have an approved I-140 and their priority date is not current, they can extend in three-year increments beyond that six-year allotted period in H-1B. And so given all of this information, as I was saying before, it's important for employers to proactively plan for their H-1B employees to be able to extend past that 6 years. So that means starting the green card process early is essential to avoid those gaps in employment. If these milestones have not been reached, by the end of the 6 years, that you could get some employment gaps there. And for the labor certification stage, obtaining the prevailing wage determination typically takes about 6 months. And then 2 months are required for advertising and recruitment efforts. And so again, it's just best to start the process, at least 2 years before the end of the foreign national employees' 6 year and H-1B status. Although starting as early as possible is of course advisable. And just a note, the foreign national employee can use an I-140 from an old employer to extend past their 6 year. Assuming the I-140 was approved for at least 6 months before they changed employers.
Wonderful. Thank you, Maggie, for giving those detailed timelines. Hearing a little echoing, can somebody mute? So the next question that we are all asked, and which you as employers and employees, particularly as employers, want to understand is the foreign national actually is able to get the three-year approval, what about extensions? When can we file the next extension? We always say the earlier you start, the better off you are, right? You want to be safe, better to be safe than to be sorry. And particularly with new rules and new administration potentially coming in, and from what we remember from 8 years ago back in 2017, things would take much longer to get approved. And so the earlier you file, the better off you are. Please remember that the USCIS allows an H-1 extension to be filed up to 6 months before the requested start date of the petition. So there's that way you have plenty of time, and that way if there is a potential problem, you have time to kind of remedy it, hopefully within the 6 months, right? It must be submitted and filed with the USCIS, the H-1 extension, before the expiration of the current H-1B approval, whichever if it expires, and the employee needs to be in H-1 status in order to obtain the extension of status and continue employment, because it has to be both timely filed while the person is in status and in status, right? Also keep in mind that there's a 240-day automatic extension that applies, but that applies for the same employer. So if the same H-1B employer files the extension, you get approximately 8 months, a few days less than 8 months, where the employee is allowed to keep working. If it now takes more than that, you either have to do premium processing and the person has to leave the country because they're no longer considered employment authorized at the end of the 240-day automatic extension. On the other hand, if it's a new employer, a change in employment, then that 240-day time limit, believe it or not, does not apply. So that takes 6 months, a year, 2 years, potentially the person could keep working based on that. But if the I-94 card has expired with the prior employment, there are other risks that could come into play, especially if the USCIS claims that they haven't received the H-1 petition. So you definitely need to get the receipt notice in your hand to have some protection for you as an employer and for the employee for the work to continue. Also note that if the H-1B petition is filed as an amendment or a change in employment, again, in that case, the work authorization continues until it is adjudicated on the requested end date, whichever is earlier of the two. So a lot of little nuances. I'm sure you all have your immigration teams in-house or your immigration law firm or lawyers, and if you don't, you're certainly welcome to contact us at the Moosey Law Firm, but those are little nuances that you need to be mindful of. So let me come back to you, TJ, to address some of the obligations when employment is terminated And does it make a difference if the employee quits or the employee fired or, you know, layoff or what have you?
Right. Thanks, Sheila. So this is going to be something that's going to be, I would say, a much bigger issue starting with the new administration and probably the heightened enforcement that we are and investigations that we are likely to see. So it's very important to understand what your obligations are if you do terminate an employee in H-1B status. So what the regulations state is that you need to, that your wage obligation to that employee continues until you effectuate what's called a bona fide termination. And the bona fide termination requires that a couple things be done, and they must be done, right? So the first thing is communicate clearly in writing to the employee that they're terminated, right? I mean, it can be an email, but you need to communicate it clearly to them that they've been terminated. You need to withdraw the H-1B petition with USCIS. So it involves sending a letter to the service center that adjudicate the case requesting the withdrawal. And the third thing, and this is one thing that I think a lot of employers don't actually do and where you may get caught up, is you need to offer, or at least attempt to offer, to pay the reasonable return costs to the employee to their home country. It doesn't apply to dependents. You do not have to pay for the dependents to go back to their home country. Only the employee. The employee doesn't have to accept it. The employee most likely and lots of times will not accept it because they're looking for another job. But you do need to do it, and you should keep it all in writing. So up until you do those three things, you're required to continue to pay that H-1B wage, the wage that's listed on the LCN, the H-1B petition, unless and until that employee either, you know, gets another H-1B job and gets a change of employer, then your wage obligations may stop. But it's very, very important to effectuate a bona fide termination, particularly if, you know, with this new administration, likely heightened scrutiny and heightened investigations. It's also recommended to withdraw the LCA in that situation. And we'll talk about this a little bit later, but it would make it so that you don't have to keep records as long if you do withdraw that LCA. But then the good thing is when the employee leaves on their own volition, right, the employee says, hey, I found another job, I'm going to leave, there's no requirement to offer that return transportation home. I'll still advise, you know, withdrawing the LCA, withdrawing the H-1B, but that return offer of, that offer of transportation home is not an obligation anymore. As soon as the employee says that they leave, then your wage obligation would cease.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, TJ, for those, for sort of explaining that process. Question, I know we're trying to be mindful of people's time in the middle of the day and, you know, you making time to understand some of this. But one of the questions that can be very important and relevant, especially if there is more, for more investigations by the Department of Labor, by the Homeland Security investigations, by USCIS, by Fraud Detection and National Security, is how long is the employer required to keep certain documents? Different documents have different time frames. I know it can be confusing. Some people just keep their documents forever and ever because it's easier that way, but that also has its downside, because then if you provide the wrong documentation or something you didn't need to keep and that was incorrectly done, could they come back and get you? So it's a double-edged sword. You have to be careful. But Maggie, I'm going to invite you to talk about the timelines.
Yeah, so thanks. For H-1B purposes, an employer is actually required to maintain what's called a public access file, commonly referred to as a PAF. And generally, that needs to include first a signed copy of the certified LCA and the cover pages. Second, it needs to include documentation confirming the notification requirements have been met. Third, documentation of the wage rate to be paid, and then also an explanation of the system used to determine that wage. And then evidence of the actual prevailing wage, and lastly, a summary of benefits offered to similarly situated U.S. workers, including any statement on differences in benefits if not all employees receive the same benefits. And then the employer must retain these required records for 1 year after the last employment date of any H-1B non-immigrant under the LCA, or if no non-immigrants were employed, than for 1 year from the LCA's expiration or withdrawal date. And then on the green card side of things, for labor certification purposes, employers must maintain a document retention file. And that generally includes items such as a signed and certified form ETA 9089, prevailing wage documentation, proof of compliance with internal notice requirements, documentation of the job offer and the alien's qualifications, and records of recruitment efforts, whether standard or special handling for college and university teachers, as required under the PERM regulations. And then the employer has to retain copies of the labor certification applications and all supporting documentation for at least 5 years from the date of filing the application.
Thank you, Maggie. So as you can see, effective onboarding and offboarding of your foreign national employees, whether, you know, we're focusing this time on H-1B status, clearly requires careful attention to timing, to compliance issues, to documentation, retention of documents after filing the petition or the green card case, etc. As employers, you really need to plan proactively to meet the filing deadlines, the extension deadlines, maintain the necessary records, and ensure compliance with immigration regulations and laws, as well as for the green card sponsorship. So by following all of these, hopefully you will find that you have a smooth process, that you understand it, that you have a system in place, you have a team that is monitoring it, and that way you give yourself peace of mind and you give your employees peace of mind so that your business can succeed, be profitable, and continue on irrespective of which administration comes in or goes out, because at the end of the day, hopefully your business will continue to succeed irrespective of the changes in the political landscape. With that, I want to take this opportunity to thank each and every one of you for joining us today. On behalf of TJ, Maggie, and myself, Sheila Moosey, and our entire Moosey Law Firm team, we would be delighted and honored to continue to help you if you need our help on anything. Take advantage of all the wonderful free resources we offer through Moosey.com, Moosey Bulletin, Moosey Chat, and we hope we will have the honor and privilege of helping you with your processing for your H-1 cases, non-immigrant cases, or green card cases. Have a wonderful rest of the season. Happy holidays, and we will be in touch. Take care.
This is a free service. The content is the protected, copyrighted property of the Moorthy Law Firm. Unauthorized recording or dissemination of these materials without prior permission is prohibited by law. Learn about our firm, how to engage our services, and more at www.moorthy.com.